Welcome to Earthworms, Green Views You Can Use, coming to you from KDHX in St. Louis, Mo. I am Jean Ponzi, your host, and getting to talk today about a subject that is dear to my heart, that is prominent on my property, and talk with friends and colleagues about bush honeysuckle. The kudzu of Missouri. An invasive plant, of which there are many invasive plants, but we're going to focus on bush honeysuckle today. And in the KDHX listening area, a honeysuckle sweep that is coming up to encourage people to get rid of it, and why and what do you replace it with. My guests in the studio, Theodore Smith from Forest Park Forever. Theo, welcome to Earthworms.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Meg Hester from the Missouri Botanical Garden.
Hi, Jean.
That's good health, you know. Hygiene.
Hygiene.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Dale Dufer, artist, woodworker. Welcome to Earthworms.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Well, actually, welcome back. You've been on the show before talking about art-related stuff.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. Yeah. Theo and Meg, I think you're the first time for you, yes?
Yeah.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Well, really a good topic. It's the very earliest of March. Today is March 1st. We haven't really seen anything leaf out yet. But the first thing that we're going to see is going to be something that we don't really want to see, right?
That's correct.
Why is honeysuckle the first plant that is going to leaf out in our area?
You stumped the band.
No, you're just looking at each other to see who answers. You guys all know.
Well, it's just very advantageous. It leaves out early, as you mentioned before, and one of the reasons it does that is it's, as you mentioned, an invasive plant species hailing from the East Asia area of China, Korea, and Japan. And with it not having any natural predators, it kind of gets a jump on things here, so to speak, and leafing out earlier, providing growing fast and basically shading out a lot of your native plants, especially your spring ephemerals.
And boy, do you deal with that as a staff person in Forest Park Forever.
You said where?
As in Forest Park.
Oh, yes,
right.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yes. That's definitely.
The big forest in the middle of the city of St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. It is definitely something we deal with in the park on a... Oh, gosh, a seemingly weekly basis during the season, and it seems to be everywhere.
So, Meg Hester, I'm going to ask you this, representing the Missouri Botanical Garden. This particular species of honeysuckle, there's a lot of species of honeysuckle that are beneficial.
There are a couple native honeysuckles.
Yeah.
I'm going to defer to my colleagues to give you the species on those.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, but you know, bush honeysuckle, the one we're talking about, Lonicera macchiae.
Yes.
Pronunciation correct? Yes. Yeah. Is, as Theo says, from East Asia, and so it isn't able to, you know, provide any food or habitat for our native animals, and that's one of its biggest damages to our area.
Another besides the fact that it takes over things.
Well, it does provide a food source.
True.
But it's like Pepsi. If you know, if the birds, you know, they stop by, they get a Pepsi in the fall, and
those little red berries,
little red Pepsi containers, or Coca-Cola, but some sugary drink, and then they go off, and you know, the next thing you know, it's coming back out the other end, and there's another bush honeysuckle planted.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So the berries aren't as nutritious as other native plant berries that birds would eat.
I'm so glad you used the soda analogy. The best way I've heard it described as honeysuckle is like the junk food or the candy bars of the of food for these animals. Because oftentimes, think about it in your situation, if you were hungry, you'd like a nice full course meal or something like that, while the berries that bush honeysuckle produces is like junk food or candy bars or things like that. And with it leafing out so early and staying, having a larger or longer growing season, it's often a food source that's just more available for a lot of the rodents and birds to come by and pick off and unfortunately discard in so many places.
Well, and a bird is not going to distinguish between the berry on one kind of bush and the berry on another kind of bush unless that bird has the, you know, for some reason has developed a relationship and knows that something is poisonous. You hopefully only eat that once. They're real attractive. They're red berries. If I were a bird in the fall or the late summer when bush honeysuckle is bearing its berries, I would be looking for something with some protein or some fat in it to let me bulk up for migration or bulk up for overwintering, not for a hit of sugar, me personally.
But animals aren't too different from us in that they're going to go for what's readily available. Mm-hmm. And with honeysuckle being such a prolific cedar and just so available, oftentimes they flock to that. And
how did we get this invasive plant in our area?
It's back was the 1870s, 1880s. Some wise person decided it was the right plant to bring over as a beautiful, you know, exotic plant, and they brought it over, and then lo and behold, bit by bit, it became more and more popular, and in fact, the conservation department was encouraging people to plant it, and 20 years ago, I was planting it in my own backyard as a nice green material, and it's a beautiful, wonderful plant. It's, you know, it's nothing wrong with the actual plant, but it's the location, and the location of the plant has turned out to be it's the problem for us, and it should not be here because it leaves out early, keeps our native plants from having a chance to establish themselves, and then as the season goes on towards the end of the year, the leaves stay on the latest, and so those young plants don't get a chance to, if they do seed, to establish themselves.
Bush honeysuckle is the plant that we're talking about here, Lonicera mackeyi, and it is a very invasive plant. Dale Dufour, you mentioned screens. I've talked to so many people who love the honeysuckle privacy hedge that they have around their property, and they just can't imagine getting rid of it. What do you say to a person like that?
I think education is the key. We have to, many times people may not know that this is a foreign plant species and very invasive, and it's very hard to control, first of all. So if they have bush honeysuckle on their property, pretty soon, most likely, it's not just going to be contained to their property. It's it's definitely going to travel by means of seed dispersals through these animals. And so many times I've heard that argument that people enjoy it for, you know, the flowers and the smell and the privacy, the hedges that they have, and just really informing the general public that there are natives that you can put in place that are just as beautiful, if not more beautiful. That can have many of the qualities that honeysuckle has, such as if you're looking for something more aromatic, you can go with spicebush or sassafras, for example. But I think education really is the key.
Spicebush has chartreuse flowers in the spring. Nobody else flowers chartreuse that early in the season.
True. Another plant I'd like to mention just as a replacement, witch hazel, which actually blooms in the winter. So if you're looking for something that has more of a year-round appeal, I strongly and highly recommend witch hazel.
Native plants, not necessarily the subject of this edition of Earthworms, but we always have to talk about native plants when we're talking about getting rid of invasive plants, especially one like bush honeysuckle, because once you take out the invader, you want to put in the right stuff and you want to keep that right stuff growing and thriving. So Theodore Smith, Meg Hester, Dale Dufour, we're talking about this topic of bush honeysuckle in a timely manner, coming up very shortly, the honeysuckle sweep.
Yes.
Would you care to explain what the sweep is all about?
I'll start, and then maybe Dale can jump in too. The Honeysuckle Sweep for Healthy Habitat is this wonderful initiative that several organizations have gotten together to focus attention on the issue of invasive plants, especially honeysuckle, and then and how we can really help our habitats by removing this plant and then replacing with natives. So the Biodiverse City St. Louis project has sort of herded this great interest from several different organizations that already do a lot of great work with honeysuckle removal. And we are going to be focusing the week March 5th through the 13th on hosting several different honeysuckle removal sites for volunteers to come and learn about how to remove honeysuckle, what they could do in their own yard to make a difference, and have a chance to kind of do it as a community first before they might want to go out and do it on their own. There are lots of great creative tie-ins with this project, too, that I'll have Dale talk a little bit about, because that's kind of how we got the inspiration for this project.
An artist, seeds, an idea. This has happened before. It's always really great when that happens.
So about 2 years ago, not quite, but right around 2 years ago, I started making furniture from bush honeysuckle. And
didn't have enough lumber, huh, laying around?
Well, after you planted it 20 years ago, you get some really nice big bushes. And, you know, I started looking at it, and I've made furniture off and on out of sticks for friends over the years. And then I just started playing with harvesting from my own backyard. And I started showing them to friends, and, you know, they'd start going, oh, this is really cool, this is great. And then I started pushing it out a little bit further, and then I got a chance to go to a festival, the Green Homes Festival at the Garden, and the response was amazing. And from there I had a chance to do a workshop at the Shaw Nature Reserve, and from there it's just taken off. To where last year I did 15 workshops and different events, and the response has been amazing.
And this project has its title has an excellent prompt, Dale Dufer.
The title of the project is called Think About Tables, and it's kind of a quirky little existential title, but it causes people to, when they walk by and they see the signage or they see the stick table, they stop. And we engage in a conversation. And by doing that hook, all of a sudden you have a person talking about bush honeysuckle that wouldn't normally be talking about bush honeysuckle. And then from there, seeing the level of popularity, I thought, well, this has got to go further. And so I had a honeysuckle soiree. And, and at the soiree, you know, more people showed up that didn't normally get to hang out with each other that are doing honeysuckle removal. And, you know, the idea kept growing. And I thought, well, what about a honeysuckle sweep? And so
you got to watch it when you hang out with artists.
We had another
gathering,
and all of a sudden,
the idea will take
took
you.
Hold of the idea and has now spearheaded the honeysuckle sweep project. And, you know,
here we are.
And Theo has taken one of my Think About Tables workshop and workshops and made two pieces at the workshop. And
yes.
Not enough to make a table, huh, Theo?
Yeah, a table and a stool. The stool I actually have outside, I use it just for sitting outside, and the table is holding a lot of just miscellaneous supplies of mine and makes an excellent scratching post for my cat. So he thanks you for teaching me the skills to make a wonderful table out of something that we're trying so hard to get rid of.
You know, I latch on to another idea of thinking about a problem as a resource with bamboo. I was, you know, we had some bamboo in the hall at work the other day getting ready to make some pollinator hotels out of them for an event at the Missouri Botanical Garden. And I'm thinking about how in the green building industry, bamboo, which is one of the most invasive plants in the world, multiple species, some of them get to be tree size, you can harvest them, gets to be made into plywood, it gets to be milled into trim, it gets to be made into flooring, and it's a beautiful material. And the configurations of honeysuckle branches also are really beautiful. They lend themselves to furniture.
They just make amazing pieces of sculptural pieces of furniture. And you know, it's my goal is to turn bush honeysuckle into a resource. That's my final goal in the Think About Tables project. Because if we can great an interest in people buying pieces of furniture, which I've sold these pieces. It's amazing. It's people are, you know, people I don't know just have gone into stores and bought a piece of furniture made out of bush honeysuckle. So there is a potential market there. You know, there is a real interest there. And, you know, little kids love to make them. I mean, it's something that's accessible to anybody at any age. You know, I think in some ways, you know, it's just, you know, kind of like the cherry on top of, you know, if we can pull this off, we'll then start really being able, I think, to create an interest, to create a big dent in one of the great environmental issues I see, and it's sort of a low-key one, right, though it's right. Rising on the radar screen of environmental issues in the Midwest.
Right. I mean, we do not want honeysuckle, bush honeysuckle, to get loose in the Ozarks. It's already down there some, but it's all over St. Louis County. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, as you who are listening to this Earthworms podcast, tool around, drive around, bike around this spring, the first thing that you'll see, that first wonderful flush of green, will pretty much be one plant, Lonicera macchii, bush honeysuckle, an invasive species, because it's crowded out so many other things.
Yeah, and Jean, I think you make a good point for people to look out for it as it moves toward rural areas, because that's where it's spreading. And so we want to, you know, you may think it's just in my yard or it's just in the city, it's just in suburban areas, it's okay. But the bigger problem is also that those birds and, you know, are transporting it to our rural areas. And once it gets further out, it just will spread faster and take over. And it causes economic damage, too, to different industries, agriculture and, you know, forest products industries in the state as well.
The Honeysuckle Sweep for Healthy Habitat is coming up March 5th through the 13th. There are events that you can join as a volunteer to remove invasive bush honeysuckle all around our area. Theo, when is the one in Forest Park?
The one in Forest Park is going to be on Wednesday, March 9th, and it's going to take place in the southwestern section of the park. So cross streets are Skinker and Wells Drive in Kennedy Woods is the location. And we're going to be working from about 9 a.m. to about 12 noon during our honeysuckle sweep.
I would think that this is really the ideal time to get an experience with removing honeysuckle because we don't have ticks and chiggers yet.
Correct.
The leaves,
poison,
hopefully,
right, around.
Not much leaf growth. You're not going to have to handle too much material. What does it take to cut honeysuckle? Exactly what will people be doing in the sweep?
Well, it takes kind of your basic tools such as loppers, hand saws, using the cut stump removal method. If we should be so fortunate with a little bit of moisture in the soil, even shovels or even your hands and brute strength to pull out some of the smaller, younger saplings.
I've had always a wonderful time pulling out those juvenile honeysuckles. They just...
It is such a joy to do.
Right. It was like, whoever thought of this plant for erosion control?
Right.
Cray-yay.
Now, they can get pretty big because yesterday I actually harvested, because I refer to it as harvesting when I'm out there.
Not whacking.
Not just ripping it all out, but I go out and I'll analyze a bush to see if I can make a table out of it. And yesterday I got my biggest one ever. I got a table base that is 6 feet tall.
Wow.
Wow.
It's a big triangular table base, and it stands on its own. It's ready
for... Think about that table.
...a really big top.
Wow.
And I don't know if I'll be doing this for putting it in the show that I have. I'm working on... coming up in the month of May at Stone Spiral Gallery, but it's called Invasive Innovations. And so it's a group show from people that who have taken the workshops and will maybe want to come and show off their tables.
A lot of different amateur and, you know, art teachers, professionals, environmental types.
Right.
We will... And I want to mention that there's a very easy one-stop shop for all this kind of information, which is the website. It's part of the Missouri Botanical Gardens website. It is biodiversitystl.org. Is that right, Meg Hester?
Yes, that's correct.
Biodiversitystl.org. And there will be a link to that from the text that accompanies this Earthworms podcast. But I appreciate the fact that there is one coalescing area there. What is the connection to biodiversity for this whole honeysuckle sweep project, Meg? What's the key? Explain that tie-in.
To biodiversity city? Or
well, the concept of a biodiverse city to the need for biodiversity, the connection there. I'm hopping. I just hopped up and down when I said that word, biodiversity. It makes me want to hop up and down.
Well, I mean, so if I'm following you, I mean, having the honeysuckle sweep idea is that if we are able to a honeysuckle doesn't allow other plants to grow, so we don't have enough diversity if we're allowing honeysuckle to grow. So if we remove it, then we're able to plant a much more diverse landscape. So honeysuckle, one of its great qualities as an invasive is that it takes over very easily and, you know, in huge, dense thickets and kind of a monoculture. So the more diverse our, you know, environment and our ecological landscape is, the healthier it is for us as humans, because we rely on those plants in so many ways, and for animals that live there.
And it can be used as a resource. Dale Dufour, you were describing that process, that table making process. Theodore Smith, in when you're removing honeysuckle, do you kind of do it in a miscellaneous way, or do you concentrate efforts in one tight area? How does it work the best?
Generally, we do concentrate it in one area. It depends on our plans for the week as well as the site in which we're working in. For example, in the area in which we'll be next week, it's a forested area, so we're kind of starting from the edge of the forest and working on in into the interior. And this just makes it easy logistic-wise to pull out a lot of the debris and things that we'll be removing, as well as a way to go in and spread out and possibly cover more ground with our volunteers, because if you've been on any type of invasive species removal project, things can get pretty tight in there with tools, equipment, and people just moving about, in addition to all the existing plants that are in the area. So the more that we can cover, the better we feel. So that's basically the gist of it.
Opportunities to participate as a volunteer in the Honeysuckle Sweep for Healthy Habitats start on Saturday, March 5th, 9 a.m. to noon at Deer Creek Park, and run on through the end of the sweep, which is Sunday, March 13th. And I think there's links on the website, biodiversitystlouis.org, where you can register or find out exactly where the locations are, all that kind of stuff. One thing that I'm looking forward to seeing at the Missouri Botanical Garden during the sweep is an exhibition, a little display of artist work using bush honeysuckle. Dale, your tables are going to be on display there.
Yes.
And one other really amazing item.
A bush honeysuckle dress.
Wow.
That's true. You can
and
make
Coco,
clothing
my engineer
out of
is
bush
laughing about that.
Honeysuckle. Now, it took this woman about 200 hours to do it, but it is an amazing gown. I mean, it's really too bad you can't. We're on radio
right at this moment. We'll link to the spot where you can see it.
It's just an amazing, amazing gown. It's
Sarah Loind, a design major at Maryville University, designed and made this gown, and she wore it to the Earthways Green Ball, our gala for the Earthway Center where I work, in November, and danced in it all night. I mean, this is a functional gown. And babe alert, I mean, it's phenomenal. I was so impressed with that. You know, it's like there's nothing holding it together. She didn't have to constrain her movements. I said, Sarah, this is amazing when she was wearing it. She goes, I know, but my feet are killing me.
Now, as a disclaimer, it was cloth lined.
Yes, yes. Well, sometimes you have to have another. It wasn't scratchy.
Right.
But it does kind of leave little shavings around. I love that.
Yeah.
So during the Honeysuckle Sweep for Healthy Habitat, March 5th through the 13th, when you're at the Missouri Botanical Garden, or if you'd like to go, you can see these items on display. How do people find out what to do, where to get native plants, what kinds of native plants you can put in, or how to even analyze that after you get rid of your honeysuckle privacy hedge or your invasive patch. Theodore Smith?
There's a list of resources, be it through the Missouri Botanical Garden or the Missouri Department of Conservation, that will walk you through what tree and shrub species are best replacements for honeysuckle based off habitat, bloom times, and things of that nature, in which to replace honeysuckle. So I would definitely recommend going to those websites, either the Missouri Department of Conservation or Missouri Botanical Garden.
Or Grow Native.
Or Grow Native as well. Right. Yes.
Right. GrowNative.org. That's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Meg Hester, do you want to add to
that? Yeah, I would just say, too, there's so within the Missouri Botanical Garden website, the Center for Home Gardening, I mean, you can Google any of these things very quickly, has lots of great top 10 lists, you know, for top 10 natives to plant in your yard or, mm-hmm. you know, and they base them on conditions you might find in terms of mostly sunny, partly sunny, mm-hmm. shady soil type. That those are kinds of things that you're going to want to mm-hmm. assess when you're taking something out and planting something new.
Partly sunny, chance of flowers.
Right. We also have a new, you'll see when you go to the biodiversity page, but there's a whole new invasives page now that's got lots of information both on removal and then resources for moving forward with your planting as well.
So we have a copy of this new, I have a copy of this new brochure here. Get Rid of It is the title of Got Honeysuckle. And there's a little bit of a controversy about what happens when you cut honeysuckle. You can pull it out when it's younger, but when you're cutting that furniture grade, old growth, herbicide is one of the possible things there. Mm-hmm. I personally do use that. I think it's a good use for a generic herbicide to little paint that cut stump with a toothbrush. But some people have hesitation about that. Why is that, Meg Hester?
Yeah, well, I mean, herbicides can be dangerous. And you do have to definitely follow instructions when you're using them mm-hmm. and make sure that mm-hmm. you use them properly mm-hmm. and are using personal protective equipment if you're going to choose to use them. So
don't use your toothbrush that you're using.
Right.
That's correct.
Use the old
right.
one.
Right. And you always have options. I mean, you can always hand remove any kind of plant that you don't want in your yard. You can also You can also use the option of with honeysuckle, you know, it is often recommended to cut as low as you can to the ground and apply the herbicide directly to the tissues. And, you know, the keys are there is that you want to be very targeted and precise with your application mm-hmm. of the herbicide.
We're not talking about spraying here or splashing. No. In fact, mm-hmm. does it do any good to spray honeysuckle with an herbicide, really?
Generally speaking, no, unless you do a foliar spray on the leaves itself. Mm-hmm. And with that, you have to be careful to how much herbicide you use in the concentration, because with that, you often do risk it spreading through the drift onto, you know, plants that you aren't targeting.
Right, right.
So
right. Not to mention insects and birds
exactly.
and your cat could come along and lick that and then...
Right.
Exactly.
But for large scale areas, mm-hmm. you know, whole parks or big countrysides or very large properties, sometimes using an herbicide may be one of your best options because you're not there are some downsides to having perhaps to go through and dig out every single plant. Mm-hmm. Things like erosion, things mm-hmm. like disturbing the soil.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So
isn't Shaw Nature Reserve part of the Missouri Botanical Garden doing research with different kinds of honeysuckle eradication methods and what works the best?
They are, yeah. We'll have to get some updates on where they are with that research.
So the experts are working on it, are addressing that question. And I would think Forest Park Forever, Theo, is doing some of that kind of evaluation given your management of property there too.
Yes, we are. I would have to refer to the park ecologist Peter Van Lantu more of the studies just kind of on different treatment methods that mm-hmm. we're using. Typically, though, we are either hand removing, hand pulling, or using the cut stump removal method.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other factors about bush honeysuckle is that it's also a great environment for ticks and mosquitoes.
Really?
And,
yes. Mm-hmm.
The leaf matter is the ideal leaf matter, apparently, for when a study was done comparing native plants to invasive plants, the bush honeysuckle was at the top of the list for creating an environment for mosquitoes.
Is that just the leaves, or is that like if they drop
it's
in water?
Mainly the the environment they create below their branch structure. So it's pretty
So many problems with invasive bush honeysuckle, which is what we're talking about in this edition of Earthworms. I'm Jean Ponzi, and my guests are artisan Dale Dufer, who has been thinking about bush honeysuckle from a constructive point of view, making tables up with it and other things, encouraging people to think of it as a resource. Meg Hester with the Missouri Botanical Garden. Meg, you are the Senior Superintendent for Student Programs for Teens and Community. Is that an acronym?
Senior Supervisor.
Supervisor.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's not an acronym.
Well, getting this information out into the community. Mm-hmm. Very, very important. Very valuable. And Theodore Smith, Nature Reserve Technician at Forest Park Forever.
Yes.
We're almost out of time on Earthworms, but your closing thoughts about, you know, the plant and the message to people to think about this plant here. Is there a better time of year to take out bush honeysuckle?
Before the berries.
Yeah, definitely.
Get them before the red berries are ripened, because once the berries are ripened, then they become the food source, which means the food source then gets distributed out there further.
Yeah, I echo Dale's sentiment. Definitely get them before the berries ripen. Also, I recommend if you in the fall as well, that's a good time to get rid of bush honeysuckle, being that it loses its leaves late, so it's easily recognizable in many other natives at that time have gone dormant. Mm-hmm. So you really have less of a risk of removing the wrong thing.
I'm sure there'll be another honeysuckle sweep in the fall.
Yes.
The honeysuckle sweep for healthy habitat. It's coming up in St. Louis. This is the first time we've had this kind of concentrated honeysuckle removal.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of how are people responding to this, and what are some of the organizations that are participating?
We've had, a great response so far. Places like Audubon Society is a big partner. The Open Space Council is a big partner. Deer Creek Watershed Alliance. A couple high schools are participating, and then a couple different municipal park systems are participating too. Webster Groves, Kirkwood Parks, Manchester, City of Manchester.
Of course, Forest Park.
And the Master Naturalists too, mm-hmm. big partners. Yeah.
Great.
Uh-huh. And if one wants to find out how to turn bush honeysuckle into a resource, they can go to woodworms.net and download a free brochure on how to step-by-step instructions on how to turn bush honeysuckle into a piece of furniture.
So I'll say, why woodworms.net is that? Because Dale...
I'm the wood.
I'm the worms. we're married. I've schlepped a lot of those tables around, and it's always really a pleasure. People get to be really happy about it. I think this is so exciting that there is a coordinated effort among many organizations that have been plugging away at this invasive plant and trying to educate people about it. And one of the things that I like the best about it is that it doesn't demonize the plant. It is a terrible problem, and yet it's not like it's evil. It's doing what plants do. It grows.
Yes.
And when you, there aren't even insect predators for this plant mm-hmm. in our part of the world. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are in Asia, but we don't have them and we probably don't want them here. Theo Smith, when people come to remove honeysuckle, what should they wear? What should they bring?
Definitely sturdy shoes, boots preferred, jeans or long sleeve pants, long sleeve shirt, eye protection.
Mm-hmm. You don't want sticks poking you in the eye.
Definitely do not want sticks poking you in the eye. Safety gloves or gloves, leather gloves. And just a positive attitude and can-do spirit to get out here and remove this bush honeysuckle.
If you learn to do it as a volunteer in one of the public spaces in the honeysuckle sweep, then you'll know exactly what to do on your own property.
Yeah, actually... if I can share just a story.
Please.
It's actually kind of how I got involved in removing so many invasive plant species is through a invasive species removal effort and also string cleanups.
Mm.
And it's just really amazing, just the sense of community. And there's so many people that you can meet, just kind of a plug to this biodiversity. So many people of different backgrounds, whether it be students, artists, ecologists, people just looking for something to do on a weekday or a week weekend, it's really a great coordinated effort to meet your neighbors, meet people in your community, or even outside your community, and engage in one unified effort to remove a plant species. And you can take something back with you, if it's a table, or if it's just a sense of empowerment that, you know, hey, I can do this in my yard, or I can do this in my community. And, you know, it just takes hand tools and willpower and maybe a friend or two, and you can really make a difference in a wonderful public area and your home.
And it's just such an important effort to understand what invasive plants are and why they are a problem and what to do to get rid of them and then what to put in place. Mm-hmm. We're not really talking about native plant options in this edition of Earthworms, but I think I can probably go back to some of the Earthworm archives and link to some of those other programs. And I was just thinking of a conversation that we had on Earthworms a couple years ago with Kira Krakos, who's a professor at Maryville University, where they're experimenting with goats as a honeysuckle control. Not for the faint-hearted, but an option. So many things to think about. Dale Dufer, Think About Tables, thanks for coming to Earthworms today.
Thank you.
And thanks for seeding the idea of this cooperation and collaboration.
I'm approaching this the same way as bush honeysuckle approaches its environment. Maybe the idea isn't necessarily like Coca-Cola, but it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, a nice seed, and then...
yes.
Another idea planted.
Excellent. Meg Hester, Missouri Botanical Garden and Biodiverse City, St. Louis. Again, what is that website, that central site?
www.biodiversecitystl.org with a C.
Thank you. And actually, the honeysuckle sweep is right on the homepage of the Missouri Botanical Garden website, mobot.org. And Theodore Smith, Forest Park Forever, thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
For your efforts. Hopefully there will be some people helping to remove honeysuckle in Forest Park on Wednesday, March 9th that have heard about it on Earthworms. And they're going to say, oh, I heard you on the radio. It's so exciting when that happens. I am Jean Ponzi. Thank you for listening to this environmental podcast. Thank you for the green things you do. Thanks to Andy Coco, engineer extraordinaire. And you can pick up these podcasts at earthworms.kdhextra.org. That's earthworms.kdhxtra.org. Hope you do. And thank you for the green things that you do.